The very last stop on a city tour called San Francisco Ghost Hunt brings you to the corner of Octavia and Bush Streets, where Mary Ellen Pleasant's mansion once stood.
Come in close, people, come in close.
Jim Fassbinder guides the tour, and he talks fast. He tells a tale that he admits is not quite fact, not quite fiction. Says Pleasant had power over San Franciscans because she practiced, quote, voodoo. He says that some claim she was responsible for the death of four people, including her longtime business partner. Rumor has it, a servant found Pleasant
pulling apart the bones of his head and picking out bits of his brain.
As the story goes, she's haunted this corner ever since the day she died.
But Mary Ellen Pleasant's real story has been mangled by history. So what really happened?
It still is a mystery. Her life is still a mystery.
Cecile Bibbs has been studying Pleasant for over 20 years.
She wrote a book, produced films, and even wrote and performed a one-woman show all about Mary Ellen Pleasant.
She says part of the reason it's so hard to distinguish fact from fiction is because Pleasant herself never kept her story straight.
It was ingrained from the very beginning that survival meant you don't tell. You just keep secrets.
Bibb says, by best accounts, Pleasant was born on a plantation in Georgia. But once she got her freedom as a young girl, she began falsifying her identity. Since slavery was still legal in much of the country, she needed to protect herself from law enforcement.
If they decided she was an escaped slave and she had no freedom papers, they could just arrest her off the streets and back into slavery.
Her skin was fair enough to pass, so when she docked in San Francisco in 1852, she arrived as a white woman.
Pleasant was ambitious. She stepped onto the muddy, smelly Embarcadero wearing a matching black dress and bonnet and immediately saw her business opportunity.
Young men's boarding houses.
Most men, from broke gold miners to rich politicians, lived in these crowded flop houses.
Pleasant decided to build luxurious boarding houses for high society men. Think extravagant balls and elegant banquets.
She had several boarding houses, made other financial investments, and by 1865, she had amassed a $1 million fortune.
She ended up having the most exclusive boarding house in San Francisco.
And that's how she got access to the elite inner circles in the city. Even the governor lived there. He took his oath of office in her boarding house on Washington Street.
She knew how to create loyalty in these men.
A lot of people say, oh, you know, she used blackmail. Well, she did use a kind of blackmail at times, but that wasn't the reason. That wasn't the source of her power. The source of her power was gratitude.
But the whole time she was becoming an influential figure in the city, she was living as a kind of double agent. While most of San Francisco knew her as white, the black community knew that she was black and fighting for abolition.
She was a major link in the Underground Railroad, a funder of slave revolts across the country, and a pillar of the burgeoning black community in the city.
And all that African Americans knew was if they needed something, they would go to her, and somehow she would use her influence and they would get it. And so they called her the Black City Hall.
Pleasant got them housing, jobs, loans. She got legal charges dropped. She made it popular for high society to hire black people. She was determined to make it big and bring her people with her.
Then in 1865, slavery was finally abolished everywhere in the states. So Pleasant decided it was safe to stop passing as a white woman. For the first time, she checked the box marked black on the census. This is Bibbs reading from Pleasant's unpublished memoir.
My cause was the cause of freedom and equality for myself and for my people, and I'd rather be a corpse than a coward.
But there were consequences for fighting white supremacy. In the late 1800s, white San Francisco began to see her not as an insider, but as a villain.
The time when horrible things began to happen for African Americans.
To give some context, the U.S. was struggling to reconstruct itself post-slavery and had fallen into a Great Depression.
You have to look at the times. It was a backlash time.
Newly freed slaves were the ones scapegoated for the downturn. Politicians in favor of civil rights were now being replaced by segregationists.
Mary Ellen Pleasant became a cautionary tale for the country. This is what happens when you let a black woman get too powerful.
Rumors filled the papers.
You can find all kinds of accusations in the press.
That's Lynn Hudson. She also wrote a book about Pleasant. She says the press tried to cut her down to size by giving her the nickname Mammy.
The big, round, smiling black woman with a kerchief on her head, and she's so happy to be a slave. That's the stereotype, right?
Some reporters were mocking Pleasant by portraying her as harmless and subservient. But at the very same time, others would paint her as a powerful witch.
She's a woman with wonderful persuasive powers and a very hypnotic influence over weaker members of her own sex.
This was a time period when reporters played fast and loose with facts, and there were no repercussions. They spread rumors that she was a madam.
That she stole white people's money.
Even that she stole babies and sold them on the black market.
She was accused of putting a spell on a senator, sprinkling love potion on his undergarments.
The papers really fixated on Pleasant's voodoo practice.
Because here's the thing, according to Bibbs, she did practice voodoo, or rather voodoon, not the witchy, jinxy, magic stereotype you might be thinking of, but the Haitian religion her mother and grandmother passed down to her.
She was trained as a voodoon priestess, a role which tasked her with protecting and serving her community, the black community of San Francisco.
And the press ran with it. A voodoo queen, the perfect tabloid spectacle.
But Pleasant never cowered from the press or anyone else. She mocked the negative media attention and even played into it, like carrying around a crystal ball as a prop. She wrote in her unpublished memoir,
"Them newspapers, they can say what they want about me. When I'm in a fight, any byplay doesn't faze me."
Eventually, the San Francisco Chronicle, after smearing her for decades, admitted some admiration for her.
In her whole 38 years of residence in California, she has laughed at courts, disobeyed the orders of judges, and has escaped somehow from every tight corner in which she has been placed.
So she carried on, now known as the Voodoo Queen, until the day she died, in 1904, from heart failure.
Her whole life, Mary Ellen Pleasant was fugitive just by virtue of her skin color.
And wicked just by virtue of her gender. But Bibbs won't let that be her legacy.
If you look at Pleasant, you look at a person all alone, brought out of slavery, put into indenture, and how this person rallied every time, you know, came to the top of everything. It's just mind-blowing.
And maybe Pleasant liked the fight. Maybe it's the very thing that spurred her on. Here she is in her own words, read aloud by Bibbs.
"Now, if I'm dead, all right then. But as long as I'm living, I'm gonna fight. And I'm gonna fight to win. And I don't want to be carried up to victory on flowery beds of ease either. I like to go through bloody scenes."
For Cross Currents, I'm Olivia Cueva.
And I'm Liza Veal.